Blog Talk Radio.
The words we speak translate into feelings that express belief systems at the conscious and subconscious level. And what we speak is what we attract towards us.
We really aren't using our minds for the most positive results in our life.
Do you have a question or a comment that you'd like to make
about this, sir? Well, this has been tied with what the lady was just saying, as far as the way the children are raised and the environment that they live in.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm in the recovery program now, and it teaches us that we have a philosophy here that we are all born with potential and we are not victims of circumstance. And I believe that everybody has the will to change. You can't blame the way you were raised for things you do in life. You have to be able to decide right from wrong at one point in time.
You are listening to In the Spirit on Blog Talk Radio with your host, Shirley, also known as Toughway. Toughway means to appreciate God and to glorify God. Let's glorify God today on this episode of In the Spirit.
Thank you so much for tuning into In the Spirit on this glorious Saturday, September 26, 2009. Good afternoon, Sandra. How are you today?
Hello, Shirley. I am blessed and highly favored. How are you?
Blessed and highly favored as well.
Wonderful, wonderful. And what is our glorious show about today?
Today we're going to talk about the ego at large.
Oh, I love that.
And you can't have a discussion about the ego and not mention the father of the psychoanalytic theory, who is Sigmund Freud. His life was to understand, his life work and his focus was to understand unconscious mind and how the mind is organized. And therefore, the term psychoanalysis is used to refer to the many aspects of his work and his research.
Fantastic. Now please continue.
Okay, and while his theories were considered shocking at that time, because he lived between, I believe it was 1856 and 1939, but his work continues to create the debate and controversy today.
Oh, magnificent. And what I wanted to let people know, since we were talking about the ego, I wanted to give them a definition of what the ego was.
Okay.
The ego, as I have gotten from the Oxford American Dictionary, is the self, the part of the psyche, which is the human mind, that is concerned with the outside world.
Mm. So the self, the human mind that's concerned with the outside world.
Yes.
That's interesting.
Yes, indeed. Because, you know, as we go into more of our show today, we are going to perhaps explore just who this ego is.
Absolutely. One of the things that I also uncovered about Sigmund Freud's theory is that he believes the mind can be divided into two parts, the conscious mind and the unconscious mind. And according to his theory, the conscious mind includes everything that we are aware of, and that's probably what your definition alludes to as well, the self, the human mind focusing on the outside world, and we're definitely aware of everything outside of us. And this is the aspect of our mental processing that we can think and talk about rationally. And it's also the part that includes our memory, which is not always part of our consciousness, but it can be retrieved easily at any time and brought into our awareness. And Freud calls this the ordinary memory, the preconscious.
Ah, the preconscious.
Mm-hmm. So what is that before we become conscious of that memory or that thought? And that's interesting because that reminds me of what you tell us all the time, that we have those 40 million thoughts flowing through our mind that we're not even conscious of.
Right.
And the ones that rise, and you were talking about that yesterday, the ones that bubble to the surface.
Right.
Become a part of our conscious mind, and those are the ones that we need to focus on when we're going through our purging process on our journey of being the spiritual persons that we're designed to be.
Indeed, indeed. And I might say that I believe it's 400 billion bits of information that is coming through per second. And we are not even aware of it. We're only aware of 2,000 of those bits. My goodness, it's seemingly we are just missing out on a great deal of information, are we not?
Absolutely. And then a lot of that depends on what that information is. You know, because if we have that many thoughts running through our heads randomly, you know, I'm wondering if that's definitely, I would think, would be on an unconscious level.
Oh, apparently. So if we can only contact or filter in 2,000 of that 400 billion bits.
Yeah.
And that's
that
about
comes
time.
To our consciousness.
Yes, and that's regarding our time and our bodies and things of that nature. It's not even exploring anything seemingly that is within us.
Absolutely. And one of the things, though, that Freud talks about regarding the unconscious mind is that it is a reservoir of feelings, thoughts, urges, and memories that are outside of our conscious awareness, and that most of the content of the unconscious are unacceptable or unpleasant, you know, like we get feelings of pain, anxiety, or conflict. And according to him, the unconscious continues to influence our behavior and experiences, even though we're unaware of those underlying influences.
My God, that is fascinating, isn't it?
It is indeed. You know, and I think a lot of that, at times we're in, for instance, I'll use this example, a guy may be with another girl, and he may unconsciously be thinking about this other, an ex-girlfriend, and mistakenly call the person who he is with by the ex-girlfriend's name.
Well, yes, indeed, and unconsciously.
The unconscious mind working at its finest, huh?
Indeed. There are some feelings, unresolved things that he might need to work out there.
Absolutely.
However, that would be seemingly very unpleasant for the date he might be with at that time.
Oh, yeah. And that date, no, hopefully, ended rather abruptly. It's like, okay, goodbye. I would have been out of there so fast.
Well, we must be mindful of our thoughts, mightn't we?
All the time. And some of the research that I did when you suggested this topic, I've got some excerpts from one of the essays that Freud wrote called The Ego and the Id. This particular segment is a writing on the conscious and the unconscious mind. And what it says here is that the term conscious is, to start with, a purely descriptive one, resting on a perception of the most direct and certain character. Experience shows that a mental element, for instance, an idea, is not a rule permanently in our conscience. It's not as a rule permanently in our conscience. On the contrary, a state of consciousness is characteristically very transitory. An idea that is conscious now is no longer so a moment later, although it can become so again under certain conditions that would easily bring it about.
Yes, I can see that. That's like the rewinding of an incident you may have had, you know, in a conflict with someone that you did not properly resolve, or your mind feels like you didn't properly resolve that, and it will rewind and or instantly replay it over and over again.
Absolutely. Or those 400 billion bits of thoughts that are flying through our minds, and we may want to go back and capture one of them, like, oh, wait a minute, what was that thought again?
But you know what came to mind today, Shirley, as I was contemplating? Now, here we are with all these bits running through, and here with the ego being at large, we if someone came up and said, and give us $1,000, we would rejoice in that moment and continue on, and it might just slip out of our minds for a bit. But if someone came along and mistreated us in some way, just took $20 from us perhaps, even after we'd gotten the $1,000,000, that incident seemingly would rewind in our minds more times than the incident that someone had given us $1,000,000.
Absolutely.
Indeed.
Absolutely.
And that ego is over there just rewinding it to make you, you know, angry or upset or give you some emotion that you can send out into the universe and bring back a miscreation that you wished you had never seen before.
Absolutely, and that goes back to what we were talking about earlier, that unconsciousness ruling those emotions, those
mm-hmm.
feelings. And so, yeah, and so that's what's paramount in that situation. And I'd like to take a moment and acknowledge Gypsy Page. Thank you so much for joining us in the chat room. And welcome
Hello,
to
Gypsy.
In the Spirit.
Wonderful.
And so, and speaking about the ego, one of the things that I've found out also is that there's like 3 degrees of the ego. And part of what Freud was doing when he was in his work on understanding how the mind works and how it's organized, he came up with the theory of the id, the superego, and the ego. Have you ever heard of that terminology before?
Yes, I have.
And the id seems pretty foreign to, I think, a lot of ordinary people who wouldn't, you know, even be thinking about the ego to that degree, because usually we hear, oh, he's so full of ego or so egotistical, but
right.
That's the lowest form of the ego. What we see a lot of times is a super ego that's exuded out there, the self-human, where the mind is so focused on the outer world. That's that super ego that's being projected.
Yes, and he is truly at large. I mean, you know, you can... You know, search your mind yourself and feel when your ego, your superego, has been at large. And if you think about it, you know, a lot of times, most of the time during the day, you know, it might show its ugly head. I've named him Anton Ego. But
Anton,
you're right.
Ego.
Yes.
Because Freud devised his structural mode of the psyche. And the 3 structures that he proposed, like I said, was the id, the superego, and the ego.
Mm-hmm.
And his definition of the id is a selfish, primitive, childish, pleasure-oriented part of the personality with no ability to delay gratification.
Oh, my. Would you read that again, please?
The id definition, according to Sigmund Freud, is a selfish, primitive, childish, pleasure-oriented part of the personality with no ability to delay gratification.
My, my. Ooh, now that.
That sounds a little bit to me about, it sounds like the way society is becoming today.
Oh, my.
We have to have instant gratification. If we don't get our way, we have temper tantrums. Everybody is so pleasure-oriented. It's all about self-gratification.
That is correct. And it works the same with the weight loss programs for a lot of people. They don't want to do the work. They may not want to cut down on a diet and do some exercise. They want to be beautiful immediately. They want to have the body that they desire, and that's possible for some. Others, you have to put in a little more of the work.
Absolutely, absolutely. And his definition for superego is that it's the internalized societal and parental standards of good, bad, and right and wrong behavior.
Oh, yeah. My.
And I'll read that again. The superego is the internalized part of the personality. It's dictated by societal and parental standards of good, bad, and right and wrong behavior.
Correct.
And so, yeah, that's interesting there, because a lot of times we walk around replaying those programs from our childhood, listening to the voices of our parents, and we may be 30, 40, 50 years old.
That's
correct.
We're
still trying to act according to the parental standards that's been placed in us when we were child,
that's
when we
correct.
Were kids.
That's correct.
From
the right,
absolutely.
That's right. The right and the wrongs that they knew were right and wrong, which may not be the standard that we perhaps need to live our lives by.
Mm-hmm.
Although some standards, seemingly according to your upbringing and your integrity, should remain in place. Integrity, you cannot ever lose with integrity. So some
absolutely.
Of those things definitely should stay in place. But some of those programmings that we have from our parents have instilled fear within us, which has seemingly
mm-hmm.
given the ego a chance to put his dress on and dance around and say, oh my God, something else that I can have, to perhaps burglarize their minds with, because they're stealing your energy. When that ego comes in, seemingly, he's taking a bit more energy because you have to take time to run these programs in through your mind. And there's just energy following thought all the time. So here you are, letting all this beautiful energy be wasted on something that is not worth the thought pattern that you, or the time you took to create it.
Absolutely, and then we can feel bound between those two dynamic authorities in our life because we have society dictating how we should behave, society telling us what's good or bad for us, and then we have the parents telling us what's good or bad for us or what's right or wrong, how we should behave.
Indeed.
And so we're kind of caught, the ego is caught in the middle because the self wants to be itself.
Indeed, every second of every moment.
Absolutely. And so that leads us into what his definition of ego. The ego is the moderator between the id and the superego, which seeks compromises to pacify both of them.
Oh, dear. Now read that again.
The ego is the moderator between the id and the superego, which seeks compromises to pacify both, being the id and the superego.
Oh, my God. A moderator.
So he goes on to say that the model of self is constructed in terms of the id, which represents instincts, and the ego, which represents our reasoning, and then the superego, which represents the compromise.
Mm. My.
And so all these struggles are going on inside of us. And then who do we give into? Like you said, if we don't establish some values and characters that we can comfortably live by, then we're going to be torn individuals. We're going to be split.
Indeed. Indeed.
Between those two forces that are trying to control this one body.
That's correct. That is correct. We have to form some type of stability in our minds as to who we believe we are or who we intend to be or desire to be and keep those firm. And integrity has to be something that has to be within you. And now you can build integrity. Surely you can. And you have to live within the boundaries of the integrity you've built, the character you're building, to establish who you are. And other people coming in to tell you how you are supposed to be is not for you. You have to do it on your own. Now, you can take the attributes that they say that you have and integrate them with who you are. However, if you are basing it on them telling you and running your life by what they're telling you, then you have not established who you are. You haven't done anything but allow their ego to come in and build you.
Absolutely. And, I agree wholeheartedly with Sigmund Freud. But you know what, Sandra? He was an atheist.
Now, that I did not know.
He was an atheist. It would have been awesome if he had applied his life's work to understanding the spiritual components of the higher consciousness. And since that wasn't the case, we understand his theories, and we have to make them applicable to our spiritual understanding on our journey of evolving into being the creatures, the spiritual creatures that we're destined to become.
Now, my thought is that if he was an atheist, could that have possibly meant that he did not believe in the God that most people were presenting to him?
Mm-hmm. Sounds like some super ego at large, huh?
Well, now, depending upon what they've presented to him, you know. Now, different people, as seemingly the Christians, have a God that is slightly different from the God that I believe in, which is an unconditional love from God. They have seemingly put God in a box and given him boundaries and limitations.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe perhaps that is the God that he was rebelling against or or recoiling from. But at this point, we may never know. But the
Absolutely.
Atheist, as far as we know, is the one that does not believe, have any
does
faith
not
in God.
Absolutely. In
yes.
God. Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. And we certainly do, whether we're Christians or whatever, however they are about their religion, that is certainly their prerogative and to each his own. You know, as long as we recognize the fact that God is love,
that's right.
And that's the bottom line. You know, we're only responsible for ourselves, and we have to be the best representations of God that we can possibly be in our time and space here on this earth.
Indeed, indeed.
And so the bottom line, though, is that as spiritual beings, we are to put to death the egos. We're not to live our lives according to the dictate of the egos, regardless of what degree we're operating at, regardless of whether it's consciously or unconsciously. It's all about becoming and evolving in the spirit.
Indeed, indeed. And some people might say, well, I don't think that the ego is dominating my life to any degree. But the ego has many suits, and it can come in any, he comes in any form. I say he, she, or it. It's just a term that I use. He could come in many forms. He could be you being fearful of something or anything, just anything. It could be you just having all these doubts and worries. Ego loves worry and fear. Those are the most wonderful attributes, if we can say that they are attributes for the ego. They are the finest attributes that perhaps he may possess. Because when you're worrying, oh my goodness, you get a chance to rewind that incident as well. And the fear
mm-hmm.
that you have, or you know, the judgments of yourself or others. There are so many suits that the ego could put on until, you know, you have to recognize what it is and then work from the experience you're having.
Absolutely. And that's interesting that you would say that, because what came to me right now while you were talking was that ego is an acronym for edging God out.
Uh-huh.
And when we edge God out of our lives, then we are operating in fear.
Indeed.
Yeah, indeed. Absolutely.
Well, it is not something to take lightly, even though in my primitive state of mind, and still am evolving, there have been many times, and still, it always takes some practice for me. Like I say, I always say, you must practice. You have to practice when those thoughts appear in your mind, and any of those negative thoughts are all egoic. That's all that they come from. It's not of the higher self, which is you. It is from the egoic version that your mind has created for your personality to express to yourself or others. So when those thoughts come in, if you would just change those thoughts, then ego has gotten shocked because he can't believe that you've changed your mind and you've written him a pink slip for that particular thought that has come through. Now, that doesn't mean he's not coming back, because seemingly he may be connected to something else in your mind that could trigger him to rewind that same story again that happened last year, you know. So, you know, you must be conscious, and then when you're conscious of it and you break that connection, then you've regained more of your power and your energy.
Absolutely, because when you don't, then you give power and energy to that negative thing that you're concerned about, that you're worried about, that you're fearing.
Indeed.
And you're giving power to that rather than power to the Spirit of God that's inside of you. So you're saying, well, this thing is much bigger than you, God. You can't handle this, so I'm just going to, let me try to deal with it, or let me just try to figure this out my way.
That's correct.
My way.
That was put very well. That's correct. That is true.
And again,
what happened?
That's ego edging God out.
My, exactly. I had not noticed that the acronym was it. I did not know that.
I heard that some time ago, and it just stuck in the back of my unconscious until it was raised to the surface when you were mentioning that.
Fantastic. You see all this information that we have that we can now bring to the forefront of our minds.
Absolutely. All things are working together.
I concur.
And so that's, you know, when we talk about putting the ego to death, that's what Christianity calls being born again. Spiritually, it's rebirth into a higher level of consciousness, where self or ego isn't the focus. The focus then becomes on the Spirit of God inside of us to direct our path.
Indeed, indeed.
So in actuality, we must be born again into the kingdom of God and come out of the kingdom of darkness, which is ruled by our self-driven motivations.
That's correct. And what happens a lot of the time, it is our reactions to the situation in our lives that binds us to that rewinding that keeps going on. It's our response and reactions and feelings that we gave at the time that this incident occurred, or, you know, that may have put us in that fearful mode. And that's what's keeping us, that's what's keeping ego alive. The fact that you reacted a certain way, oh my God, you know, oh my God, he's dying. The man, if that was a situation and you thought a man was dying, perhaps if you thought, oh my God, I'm going to save him, then you could actually save him. It's your reaction that binds you to that illusion or that situation that keeps you rewinding those negative thoughts over and over again and putting out that negative energy that is expanding out into the universe and bringing you back huge, and just standing out there actually building, waiting for more negativity and fearful things to come to it, to attract to it, to bring back some just extraordinarily dreadful, perhaps, creation that you have no idea that you would have ever intended in your conscious state.
Absolutely. Very well said.
Thank you. Well, I tell you, I'm enjoying the practices that I play with myself and the ego. Now, what kind of exercises do you do, perhaps, Shirley, to activate your...
Well, that book that we're studying...
Oh, The Angels Within.
Yeah. Yes. That is doing it for me. And actually, I have it in my hand right now. And
I always have mine.
You know, because we're sitting here talking about egos, and my mind just keeps coming back to this book because it so clearly underlines the negative effects that we're projecting through the ego and how it affects our characteristics, our traits, and who we are. And by being having these ways about us that where some people may be conscious of it and some people may be unconscious of certain character traits that they have, but in studying this book, it points out that these traits are attributed because our egos are so focused on certain things. And since we had mentioned earlier about depth to the ego,
right.
And I was going to ask you if it was okay to share some of the contents from this book.
Yes, by all means.
Discussion would be appropriate. Okay, so for that one, it's talking about that the negative trait from ego projection is the unnatural preoccupation with the physical body,
yes.
And as well as, a health fanatic who is constantly monitoring the physical symptoms and to see what is wrong. But the energy that is being blocked because of the preoccupation with the body, with the physical body, is fear of the death of the ego. And that is a belief that the metamorphosis from personality to individuality will eliminate the physical form. And so it's not really about transforming physically, it's a transformation that we make spiritually.
Indeed.
And people are afraid to let go of the physical elements of the world in order to open up to receive what the spiritual component in life has to offer.
Yes.
And so they'd rather identify with their selves, with the body, with the ego, rather than to put it to death so that the spiritual person who they are created to be can emerge.
That is correct. That is correct. Now, I have a saying, and I'll give you just the first part of it. It came out of one of the excerpts, I think, that Nelson Mandela spoke in one of his speeches, I believe, when he was released from prison. And it starts out, and it says, I'll just read the first part of it. It says, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. So as you were saying before, we are so afraid of that almighty power within us that we would rather suffer, seemingly suffer,
yeah,
and be helpless humans and play Earth Man all day rather than, you know, come up to our highest standard of spirituality and let our true selves from within come forward and show us how we are supposed to live in this beautiful world, because we weren't just put here to just live, work, play, and decay. We are on a spiritual path, and
absolutely,
we must follow that.
Absolutely. And whether or not a person taps into that, you know, again, that's their prerogative, but they're missing the true meaning of what this life is all about. And that's because, again, they are so focused on self, the ego personality, pride, you know, the high standards that they set for themselves, the materialistic things that they accumulate in life, their large bank accounts, the fancy cars, the big houses. That's nothing. That is not what life is all about. We're supposed to let the light of God inside of us shine brightly in a world that is so filled with darkness.
You
know, we're talking about the physical body being in control of us, because we're spiritual beings housed in this physical body.
Indeed.
And so when that body rules, because that is so prominent with me when I look at these young kids today, the way that they live their lives for the most part, most of the young kids out there, there's a lot of kids out there that are doing good things, but they are so ruled by their flesh, and everything is self-gratification. You know, I want to have it now. I want to do it my way. I want to do my thing. You know, that's my thing. I want to do what the heck I want to do it, and they do. You know, without realizing the destruction that they're causing, not only to their bodies physically, but to their spirits as well.
Indeed. And unfortunately, seemingly, they have to learn from their experiences, even though seemingly it has the appearances that they are just destroying themselves. They have to learn as well. And seemingly, the society has contributed to them thinking in this fashion. Now,
no doubt at all. And we have a caller on the line, Sergeant. Oh. We have a caller from the 314 area code. Caller, you on the line. Can you tell us where you're calling from and your name, please?
Hi, I'm Omni Lay. I'm calling from St. Louis, Missouri. I'm just enjoying the conversation. I just tuned in, so I'm not really sure what book you're speaking of or who you're speaking with.
Okay, my co-host is on the show, Sandra Bouton. And
hello.
Sandra, you want to tell her about the book, because you introduced me to the book. So this is your thing, girl. And I also like to take a moment, though, to welcome some more guests who have joined us in the chat room. We have a guest number 1518 and Manu. Thank you so much for joining in this for today. Sandra, please, I'm sorry.
Not a problem. Hello, everyone, my kings and queens. Welcome. Whenever you tuned in, we are most happy that you have joined. The book that I was speaking of, that Shirley and I are studying, it is the most fantabulous book that I have ever come across. And believe me, I have read many. The name of the book is The Angels Within Us. The author is John Randolph Price. It is truly fascinating. I tell people that it is magical. So if it is for you, then you will recognize it when you start to read it. And go out and purchase it. I'll give that name again just for anyone else that might have missed it. It is The Angels Within Us. It is by John Randolph Price. You can purchase it at the libraries. You can check it out, or you can just go online and get it from Amazon. Is that correct, Shirley?
Amazon.com, yes, indeed.
Amazon.
And I will have a link up on my website at the end of this segment that you can click on and order it as well. But definitely at Amazon.com. I'm sure it's in any of the bookstores as well.
It is. It is. Indeed it is. So it is a fabulous book. I will not share a lot of the information with you right at this moment. I'd like for people to get into it and explore it. Even though we will be discussing it ongoingly off and on, you should get it and see if your spirit loves it as much as Shirley's and mine does. If so, then it is definitely for you.
So have you had any spiritual experiences on your journey through this life that you'd like to share with us?
Well, let me see. I've had so many. It's seemingly, when you want to bring them forth for your mind, it seemingly is sometimes pushed back. But one does come to mind, however, and this would be an example of the ego. At one particular time, my husband and I were downsized. We had a lovely home in Garner, North Carolina. And at that time, we were seemingly struggling to make payments on that home. At the end of all this struggle and, you know, seemingly egotistical worrying here and there about how we were going to do month to month, I was studying this book, as a matter of fact, and it had given me so much joy and pleasure and solitude through all of that chaos that I now consider it my Bible to some degree. However... Yes. However,
absolutely. Because you know what's so fascinating, also, Sergeant, and I'm sorry to cut you off.
Okay.
You know, because the Bible tells us in Psalms 91 specifically is one of my favorite scriptures, and it tells us, I believe it's Psalms 91:11, where He will give His angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways.
Yes.
Okay. But we don't get that teaching in mainstream society. And when people hear talk about that, they're led to believe, oh, that's that occult stuff, or that's that New Age stuff.
Indeed.
But that's the stuff that this universe is built on.
That's right. That's what's working.
This universe was founded on.
That's
so, yeah, I want some of that stuff.
That's the stuff that's going to set us free, to make us free.
Absolutely. So, caller in Missouri, do you want to share some of your stuff with us on your spiritual journey?
Oh, I am enjoying this. But basically, I've had a spiritual journey also, and it was very enlightening. It was very trying. It was undoing the ego, killing the ego was a really hard thing to do, realizing it, facing up to it, and really going about the job of eradicating it. It's no easy job, and I feel the same way you feel about this book, about the book of, I Am the Vans Vance. And it is One Day My Soul Just Opened Up.
Oh, my.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have not read that, but I hear that that is a very good book.
And you speak of the book that you're talking about, the way I speak of the book, My Soul Just Opened Up, and it is absolutely magical.
That's right.
Absolutely. Yeah. Anytime, and I call it my Bible, because anytime I am in need of affirmation or some type of spiritual guidance on a whole nother level, just to bring me back in tune, bring me back in line, I can pick this book up, and I open it randomly wherever, and
right.
it gives me exactly what I need in that moment for that situation.
That is correct. Then that
Absolutely.
Is the book that speaks to your soul. Correct. Because every
yes.
this book is not for everybody. There are different books for different people. And I understand exactly what you mean there. Just like we said, this book may be for us. That book is the book that's leading you on your spiritual path and showing you what you need in your life. Well, I applaud you.
But you know what? I'd like to add to that, though. Books come into our lives at when it's time for us to have that information. So
wow.
everything works together. All things work together. So she's studying that book, and she happened to tune into the broadcast and hear us talking about this book. So this book can complement what you're reading now, and it could be something that you use in addition to that to even take you to the next level that you're supposed to go. Because it sounds like you had an issue dealing with some ego problem that I wasn't clear on whether or not you overcame that situation.
Sounds like
that you were
did.
Dealing with what you're, it sounded like you did. You were victorious in that situation. And so, you know, now that you've overcome that thing at that level, it could be time for you to graduate to the next level spiritually so that your spirit is not about your flesh. It's not about the person that's standing before you in the mirror. It's about the light that's shining inside of you, and you want that light to glow brighter and brighter. And so you go to the next level of gaining to opening up your consciousness to the next higher level.
That is correct.
Does that make sense to you?
That happened to me several times. Does that make sense to you, caller?
Yes, that makes absolute sense to me. And I'm staying on task, and I'm going to check
Excellent.
Out this book also because, you know, I tuned in today. It may be for me to have this book, and I'm impressed because you speak of it like the book that – literally saved my life.
And one of the things that really, really impressed me, because I'm new to this thing as well, you know, but I'm committed to it regardless of how ridiculous I might sound to other people, because it's not about that anymore. It's not about the outer world any longer for mm-hmm. me. And so one of the things that really is fascinating for me about it, because it shows me, and those questions yes. that I've always been concerned about with life, you know, and with
mm-hmm.
me, and why am I this way, you know, why is my character
mm-hmm.
this way? This book addresses those issues specifically. It deals with you on the character level with your ego, dealing with those character traits that sometimes we don't even want to admit that we have.
That's
sometimes
correct.
We may not even be aware of it, but they're there.
They are there.
And then when you read it, it's like, oh, I see myself, that's me. You know, you recognize yourself in it.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, please.
Well, thank you.
I'm sorry.
Well, thank you for calling us, and definitely keep in touch. The email, if you want to, you know, email and correspond to us via email, the email for the show, and I'd like to give this information out to the listening audience. If you'd like to contact us, the email address is alwaysinthespirit@gmail.com. Sandra, is there another email address that you'd like to give out to the listening audience to contact you directly?
Well, we will let them go to your email, and then we will all, and then I can get them from there. How is that?
Excellent. And thank you so much for calling in. We really appreciate you joining the show today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I'm so pleased that we have wonderful listeners. That
Absolutely.
Is just the best. And they are all seemingly in the spirit.
Well, that is going to do it for the show. We have about a minute left. But I'd like, before we sign off, I'd like to take a moment to remind you to tune into the broadcast next week. How come? Our special guest is going to be Simon Bailey, who is the author of the book we'll be talking about next week, Release Your Brilliance. He's also a motivational speaker. He'll be joining us next week. The show will air next week at 3 o'clock. We won't be on our normal time at 4 o'clock. We'll be on at 3 o'clock Eastern Standard Time next Saturday, October 3rd. And if you haven't already done so, please, please, please go out and purchase your book, Release Your Brilliance, by Simon T. Bailey. It is money wisely spent. Sandra, closing comments?
Yes, thank you so much for this lovely wonderful show today. My name is Sandra Wadsworth-Butone saying, let's be great rulers of this kingdom that is our minds. And remember that a fearful ruler lives in a fearful domain. Until we meet again, live long and prosper. Bye-bye.